KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, a little bit of light fog, and otherwise we look for it to be partly sunny today, a high of 83. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Iowa ranks among the top third on the list of best states in which to retire. That's according to a new report from the personal finance website, Bankrate.com. Analyst Taylor Tepper says Iowa placed 16th overall on the report based on seven main criteria, including things like the cost of living, crime, culture, health care, and weather.
Iowa did very well. Its best category was cost of living, which is obviously very important for seniors who are living on a fixed income. It finished number 11th. So that really propelled it up towards the rankings. Healthcare quality, it finished number 12.
The Hawkeye State landed relatively high on the report thanks to its good placement in key categories, which are important to retirees, things like healthcare costs and crime.
You're going to spend, you know, I think the number is $280,000, a couple will, when they turn 65 throughout their retirement on healthcare. So you want to make sure those dollars are going towards better outcomes. And crime, it's a relatively safe place to live.
There are only a few areas where Tepper sees room for Iowa to make improvements.
The main places where it didn't do particularly well were weather and taxes. Weather, it was 33rd. Taxes, it was 40th. Taxes, you know, would higher taxes put a bigger burden on retirees who are living on those fixed incomes.
South Dakota ranked as the best state in which to retire, followed by Utah, Idaho, New Hampshire, and Florida. New York placed last on the list, just below New Mexico, Maryland, Louisiana, and Arkansas. The head of the U.S. Small Business Administration was in Iowa Friday for a roundtable discussion with women business owners. The Iowans told Linda McMahon they purchased new equipment, increased advertising, and one plans to reinstate her company's bonus program because of federal tax cuts. A report released Thursday shows no overall growth in hourly wages in June of this year compared to June of last year. McMahon says she doesn't dispute that statistic, but it doesn't match what she's hearing.
Most of the businesses that I talk to, you know, around the country, I am constantly hearing that we are increasing our wages. I mean, we heard today more 401 contributions, you know, not only from the company, but, you know, from the employees.
She says other factors point to a really healthy economy where wages will start to rise.
We will see competition in the marketplace for workers, and wages will go up as a result a little bit of the supply and demand issue. Wages will go up, you know, also as a result of that, because there are fewer employees out there looking for work.
A woman who owns a business in Pella told McMahon she's hiring people from Missouri and Minnesota who keep their homes there but commute for the work week. McMahon says encouraging internships and especially apprenticeships will help Iowa students and Iowa businesses fill jobs here. McMahon has visited 40 states since she took over as the leader of the Small Business Administration in early 2017. Former Iowa Governor Robert D. Ray was remembered at his funeral Friday as a public servant and humanitarian. Family, friends, and Iowa leaders gathered for Ray's funeral at the First Christian Church in Des Moines. Kenneth Quinn is president of the World Food Prize Foundation and a former U.S. ambassador who worked on refugee settlements in Iowa. He described visiting a refugee camp where an Iowa Department of Transportation map of Iowa was displayed to remind refugees there was hope of deliverance. Quinn said, Governor Bob Ray had made the shape of our state the symbol of hope to people 12,000 miles away. Ray died Sunday at the age of 89. He served five terms as Iowa's governor from 1969 to 1983. And the founder of Sukup Manufacturing in Sheffield died Thursday at a Mason City hospital at the age of 89. Mark Fry reports from Sheffield.
According to the company's history, Eugene Sukup developed the company in 1962 after looking for a way to improve the grain drying process inside grain bins. He developed and patented the Stirway stirring machine at a local welding shop in Sheffield and began selling the product. Since then, Sukup's innovative thinking led to him being awarded over 80 patents and numerous awards for the company's innovations. Sukup served as company president for 32 years before turning the position over to his son Charles in 1995. Sukup's family members now run the business, which employs more than 600 people.
Elsewhere in the news, the Iowa Department of Transportation's Motor Vehicle Enforcement Officers will participate in the Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Alliance's Operation Safe Driver Week, July 16th through the 20th at various locations around the state. The initiative is aimed at identifying unsafe driving behaviors by commercial motor vehicle drivers and those drivers of other vehicles operating around the commercial motor vehicles. The events will be held in Council Bluffs, Mason City, Iowa City, Davenport, Des Moines, Sioux City, and the Cedar Rapids, Iowa City area. During each event, officers will be issuing citations and warnings to those drivers in an effort to reduce crashes caused by dangerous driving behaviors. According to NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, more than 94% of all crashes can be attributed to some form of driver error. MVE Chief David Lorenzen said, with these events, we're actively seeking out those drivers who pose a danger on the road. Examples of dangerous driver behaviors that enforcement personnel will be tracking throughout Operation Safe Driver Week are speeding, distracted driving, texting, failure to use a seatbelt while operating a commercial motor vehicle or in a passenger vehicle, following too closely, improper lane change, failure to obey traffic control devices, and so on. Operation Safe Driver Week is sponsored by CVSA in partnership with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration and with the support from industry and transportation safety organizations. A spokesperson for the Iowa State Patrol is reminding motorists that the state's year-old law against texting and driving doesn't just apply to vehicles that are in motion. Sergeant Nate Ludwig says it's also illegal for a driver to text when they're waiting at a stop sign. Ludwig says it can be frustrating for other drivers who are playing by the rules.
It creates a little bit of a road rage between motorists. You're at a stop sign and, maybe that friendly tap of the horn and you're looking over at somebody and... You know, usually people will put their phone down because they realize, oh yeah, somebody's watching me while I'm on my phone. That's probably not real safe.
The Iowa State Patrol recently reported over the first year of the stricter texting while driving law, troopers issued 1,131 citations to motorists. The violations can cost a person over $100. Ludwig says the State Patrol at times has placed troopers in unmarked cars to catch unsuspecting motorists who are texting behind the wheel.
I know other states have utilized, like the Tennessee State Patrol has utilized commercial motor vehicles, big semis traveling down the road, because those guys sit up high, and 9 times out of 10, they're getting passed on the interstate by other vehicles going by them, and it's alarming to see the number of people that are using their phone on the road.
The law that made texting while driving a primary offense took effect on July the 1st of 2017. Prior to that, police could only issue a citation for texting while driving if the officer stopped the driver for another offense. A termination letter shows that a member of the Iowa State Patrol was fired this month because of intimidating, threatening, and unwelcome interactions with colleagues. The patrol fired Des Moines-based trooper Wade Karp on July the 3rd after a 10-month paid administrative leave. The agency had refused to explain the leave or reason for the termination, citing only violations of department rules. In a response to an appeal filed by the Associated Press, the patrol reversed course Friday and released a heavily redacted copy of Karp's 2-page termination letter under the open records law. The document shows Karp was accused of violating the state's violence-free workplace policy and engaging in unbecoming conduct. The letter said Karp interacted with employees in and out of the patrol in ways that were intimidating, threatening, and unwelcome, and those actions reflected unfavorably and impaired department operations. The department blacked out nearly half the letter, claiming it contains confidential personnel information. Iowa road officials say that high outdoor temperatures are to blame for the buckling of a large section of pavement along Interstate 380 in Cedar Rapids. The Iowa Department of Transportation was called at around 6:30 p.m. Thursday after pavement on the inside lane of northbound I-380 heaved upward. Some employees said it was the largest pavement heave they've ever seen. Officials estimate the pavement buckled about 14 inches in the center of the heave. The Iowa State Patrol says 5 vehicles drove over the buckled pavement before troopers could shut down the lane. Officials say there was no visible damage to any of the vehicles and there were no injuries reported. And police say no charges will be filed against a business owner who shot and killed a suspected burglar outside of his business in southern Des Moines. Des Moines police said Friday that 67-year-old Thomas Kraft checked security cameras at his business from his home Wednesday morning and saw his shop had been burglarized. Police say Kraft drove to the business about 2 hours later and interrupted 37-year-old Amund Benjamin Harstead of Fergus Falls, Minnesota, loading items from the business into a stolen truck. Police say Kraft retrieved a gun from inside the business after Harstead threatened to kill Kraft. Kraft later went outside thinking that Harstead had left, but again encountered the man. Police say that Kraft fired a round into the ground, but the bullet ricocheted. It hit Harstead in the head, killing him. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.